I read an interesting article this week, and this article was from 1926, and it was an article, it was an interview of none other than Henry Ford. And in this interview, Henry Ford was announcing something that was new, a new practice that he was going to initiate at his factories. Now, Henry Ford, of course, being the Ford of automobiles, and he was announcing that they were going from a six-day work week to a five-day work week, and everybody was up in arms about this, and he was seeking to explain why he was leading his corporation into such a practice. He made this comment: "It is high time to rid ourselves of the notion that leisure for workmen is either lost time or class privilege. We find that men come back after a two-day holiday so fresh and keen that they are able to put their minds as well as their hands into their work." Now, Mr. Ford was recognizing something. He was recognizing that his workers would be more productive if they had some time to rest. Now, of course, there's also the economic side of all of that, and in the article it's very clearly that he was pushing for making more profits. So, but all of that aside, I think he was onto something. He was onto the fact that people demonstrated a better propensity in work, a better skill to work, when they had some time to rest. It's also interesting, I looked up the New York State labor laws, and I found this: one day rest in seven. No employee shall be permitted to work on his designated day of rest. It's interesting, isn't it, that our very state law gives us one day of rest in seven. Now, I'm sharing all of this with you mostly to pique your curiosity, but what we're going to study today is a very fascinating study that I've enjoyed very much, been frankly sometimes very frustrating and challenging, and I know I do not have the final word on all of this, but I'd like to ask the question, why is it that God rested on the seventh day? You ever think about that? You ever think you got the 6 days of creation, and God made things on the days of creation? Why is it that God rested on the seventh day? Now, I can't read your minds, but some of you may be really cued in on this now, because I know for many that there has been in past history, this whole idea of the day of rest and the Sabbath and all of those things has caused quite a stir amongst different people. And my desire today is just to see what God's Word has to say about rest. And I will do the best that I can to give you what God's Word says, nothing more, nothing less. So I invite you to please turn in your Bibles to Genesis, Genesis chapter 2. We're in a series called The Foundations of Life, and in this series we are seeking to look at what Genesis has to say about very core foundations of our existence. We have looked at the importance of the Word of God, for that being the source of all of these things. We've looked at the importance of the existence and eternality of God. We've also looked at how understanding Genesis chapter 1 and 2 to be a very literal six-day creation, how that is very important to helping us understand God as a God of power, to help us understand God's very person, His personal being, and to understand His purpose for all of mankind and for this world. Well, as we march down through this, we come to chapter 2, and we read these words, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 1, where it says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended His work which He had made. And He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work, which God created and made. Now again, as a Bible student, and I am just like you, a Bible student, I seek to understand God's word, and I trust that you do as well. I do ask questions, and I ask the question of the Lord and of his word, why is it that you rested on the seventh day, God? Let's just take some time here to look at this text and just kind of break it down, and then what we'll do is we'll go throughout the rest of the scriptures to just address some of these questions that we might have. In this chapter, you have, it's really a continuation of the narrative that takes place in chapter 1. At the end of chapter 1, it ends with everything that God had made. He looks at it. Behold, it was very good. The evening and the morning were the sixth day. And so from that, you march right into chapter 2, verse 1, where it says, thus the heavens. Thus the heavens. And this being everything that is, I believe, is above the earth. And the earth, thus the heavens and the earth. So everything that's under the heavens and that are vitally connected to the earth, that would be the animals, the birds, man, plants, everything else that's involved with the earth, were finished. So what you have is a very clear statement that thus the heavens and the earth were finished, they were completed, they were totally done, and they were as they should be. Why? Because God said they were very good. They were finished, and all the host of them. Now, this is an interesting addition to this statement. I mean, God could have said all the heavens and the earth were finished, but he adds, and all the host of them. Now, if you look through the Old Testament, this word is used primarily to speak of great armies, the host of the army, the great number of soldiers. But it also can be used to just basically speak of many things. And what we have here, I believe, is God making a reference to, yes, the heavens and the earth, they were finished, but everything in them also was completed and done. That would mean that the stars, the galaxies, and the heavens, they were done. Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 6 says this, thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven and the heaven of heavens with all of their host, the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein, and thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worships thee. So what we have is a very clear statement that God finished. He was done. And then comes the seventh day. Verse 2, and on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made. Now, this is interesting because this word ended is from the same root as the word for finished in verse 1. And it means that God completes his creative work, and he is now initiating a day of rest. So what we have here is God completing all of his work. There's no loose ends hanging out there. Everything is done. And he closes the door on his creative work, and thus begins the day of rest. One way that you could picture this is after you come home from work, right? You open and you close the door, and in your home, and if you're like me, at the end of a busy Sunday, I come home and I shut the door, and it's rest. And what you see here is on the seventh day, God bringing to a completion his work. What was his work? What was his work? His work was creating the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. In this verse, you do have something that's very specific. He ends his work. That's a verb. Describes the work is now done. Something is ceasing to happen. And then he rests from all his work. This describes what happens when the work is done. He's resting. So now God is now ceasing this work, but now doing something else. He's resting. This is, God is very purposeful in that he is silent about this, but he blesses this day and he sets it apart. God blesses this day and sets it apart. Notice, he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. Well, when we talk about blessed, he honored it, or he ordained it. He sanctified it, that is to set apart. He set it apart. And it seems here as if God's blessing and sanctifying the seventh day after it was all done. God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. So, this is pretty straightforward. I believe that we would all agree that the Bible says that the heavens, the earth, all the hosts of them, everything was completed and done. And we have a clear statement that the sixth day was not the end of all of this, though, that God had another day. And in this day, he chose to rest. Now, why? Why is that? Now, of course, we don't know the mind of God, and we cannot go and ask him very specifically, but I believe we can make some observations from the scriptures as to why he had this day of rest. I believe one thing that we can see from this is that this day of rest was God's signature of completion. I believe what you see here is that this day of rest is a statement that God is making for all of the world. I'm done. And you know I'm done because I'm resting. Now let's get one thing clear. Does God need to rest? No, he doesn't need to rest. He is an all-powerful God. He doesn't need to take a break or rest. Let's also make another thing clear. Is God, when he rested on the seventh day, did that mean that he stopped his work of working with people or working with man or involvement with the earth? No, he didn't. He didn't stop his work of working with people. He stopped his creative work. And so we have this signature of completion. There's no doubt that God's creative work was done because he established the seventh day and he stated this by ceasing from his work. Think about if there was no seventh day. We would be left to wonder if everything was all done. Was God all completed? Well, the seventh day makes us very well aware God was done. He was done with his creative work. Now, why is that important? Well, it is important because we recognize that God made all things. He is the author of these things. And so thus we give him all the credit and all the glory for this created world and heavens, animals, mankind, and all the systems and laws that he put into place when he made the earth and the heavens. What we also see here, not only is it the signature of completion, but we also see that this is God's statement of example. God is going to use this seventh day as an example for mankind. When I say mankind, a very specific group of people in mankind, his chosen people, the Israelites. Let's go to Exodus chapter 16. Let's go to Exodus chapter 16. Now we're going to Exodus chapter 16 because this is the next time where you see this idea or concept of a day of rest. Now you may ask yourselves the question, well, what happened to all the time in between there? Very good question, isn't it? I don't know. But the point is, God rested on the seventh day. Then in Exodus chapter 16, in Exodus chapter 20, God issued a command to his people, the Israelites, to observe the Sabbath day. So what took place between Exodus chapter 16 and Genesis chapter 2, we don't know for sure. We don't know about how people observed a day of rest. If they observed a day of rest, we don't know if they took a break from work. But let's remember that during this time period, you had Noah and the flood, you had Abraham, you had Isaac, you had Jacob, you had Joseph, all of these different things taking place. You had the Israelites enslaved in Egypt. Work? Yeah. All the time? I don't see the Egyptians giving them a day off. And so you have them work, 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 and then deliverance, you have the Passover, and now they're in the wilderness. And they have been delivered from Egypt, and now you have Exodus chapter 16. Now this takes place when they're complaining. They don't have any food, they're hungry, and God brings them what? Manna! Verse 22, Exodus 16, 22. It came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord hath said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which you will bake today, and seethe that you will seethe, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up till the morning, and as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today you shall not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. Verse 29. See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath, therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide you every man in his place, and let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. Now what's interesting here is people disobeyed God here, and they went out and they went out to try to gather, and there was nothing there. God was very clear. I'm going to give you manna, and I'm going to give you plenty of manna. In fact, on the sixth day, you can take a double portion, but on the seventh day, you are to rest. You are not to go out. You are to rest. So thus in the wilderness, this day of rest is being initiated. Now go over to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20 has what is called the Ten Commandments. Now I dare say that most, if not all of us, have heard of the Ten Commandments. And I dare say that we look to the Ten Commandments as a guide and a moral authority. I want to be very, very specific here and clear that we must, in the context of the Word of God, recognize this truth. We must recognize that the Ten Commandments were given to a very specific group of people, weren't they? They were given to the Israelites. This is important. Verse 8. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Why does God say remember the Sabbath day? It's because it was already being practiced because they had received the manna and that instruction had already been given to them. And now God is saying, remember that day. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, thy maidservant, thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now, here is a direct reference back to Genesis chapter 2. You see that? This is why I believe one reason God rested on the seventh day was to be an example to His people. That His people could remember God's creation and remember that, yes, God worked on 6 days, but on the seventh day, He rested. And now He asks the same of us. We can go along with that, they would say. Notice that the description here, verse 11, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day, wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Remember the Sabbath day, the seventh day of the week, and this was the day that God rested from His creative work. This was the day that God blessed, and He set it apart. And we see one of the reasons why is to be an example to His people. You see, His people, they had worked in Egypt all the time. They were slaves there. And God, wanting them to recognize these things, I recognize that you need rest, but I also know that you need time to focus on your relationship with me. This is why He says to them that they are to keep it holy. This is to be a separate day. This is to be a day where they are not to work. This is to be a day where they are to gather together and worship. This is, again, given to the Israelites, given to God's chosen people. So we have the seventh day as God's signature of completion. We also have it as a statement of example, as God's example to His people. But I see something else. And I think we all will appreciate that I believe God, by resting on the seventh day, He gives us permission to rest. How many of you struggle with keeping work at work and not at home? How many of you have a hard time drawing that distinction? How many of you have a hard time resting? If I were to ask you, what does it mean to rest? You would, would you hem-haw around? You know, it's interesting here that I believe God is giving us permission to rest. God made us and created us. And if you look back in Genesis chapter 2, you can turn back briefly, Genesis chapter 2, He created man to work, didn't He? Look at Genesis chapter 2, 5. Every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. Well, we can take by that that God's expectation was that man was to till the ground. And God, and this was before man was created, and there was no man to till the ground, so that God took care of everything. But man was is tilling the ground work? Yeah, have you ever tilled a garden? Sure. Have you ever tilled the Garden of Eden? Some of you may claim that. If so, I want to see your garden. The Garden of Eden must have been an incredible place. And remember, work probably was much different than we might think of it today. But nevertheless, man was to work. We also look at verse 15. The Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to what? To dress it and to keep it. Does that mean that man, God created man and said, just hang out? Enjoy the garden. It's for you. Yes, but they were to dress it and to keep it. they were to take care of it. What about Adam naming all the animals? It had to be some work, right? All the animals coming by, he was to give them names. Alright, so God designed man to serve and to work. Ultimately to serve him. To work for him in his garden. And then came along the serpent. And the serpent tempted Eve, and Eve ate of the fruit, and she gave some to Adam, and Adam ate of the fruit, and thus we have sin. And this has initiated the curse, and God cursed the serpents. He cursed his stature. He was to be on the ground. He cursed his future. He was going to be bruised in his head. God cursed the woman with her feelings and her relationships. She's going to experience great pain in childbirth, and her relationship with her husband, that would no longer be total harmony. God cursed the man's labor and production. Interesting. God cursed the man in his labor and his productivity. And God said, it's going to be harder now for you to till the ground. Now you're going to have to deal with weeds. And you have to deal with things that you didn't want to be there. And you have to work and you will sweat to get some bread. So now man compelled to work even harder as a result of the curse. In all of these things, I believe God knew man would need rest. And what we see is God, by his act of resting, giving man permission to rest. Why do I say that? Well, because work presents such high demands, doesn't it? We live in a culture where it tells us work and work harder. And if you are not working harder, you are passed over for somebody else that will work harder. And you are to work, and you do work, and work, and work. But God knows our cursed bodies need rest. I read in one article in the Denver Post, the brain is a machine that needs downtime. Americans have become so averse to being unproductive that many have trouble waiting in line, riding in an elevator, or stopping at a traffic light. Yeah? Yes? I know, I struggle with some of those things. Without simultaneously reading, texting, or talking into some device. They don't want to waste a minute. Technology holds out a promise of unlimited accomplishment and efficiency, but experts say it's false promise that's encouraging us to drive ourselves crazy. Now, yes, this is from a secular newspaper, but listen, I believe that our culture, and if we were to ask our families, I think we realize that rest is something beneficial and positive. And our culture recognizes it. Our New York State law recognizes the importance of rest. Another quote, Americans have busted thermostats, Mahler said. They have forgotten what enough feels like. They take a perverse pride in being too busy. It's a curious accomplishment, Mahler said. It's really not an accomplishment, it's a disease. We aren't indispensable. A force, they say, a force larger than ourselves is running things. We can take a day off. So, what about all of this? God rested on the seventh day. God showed us he was done with creation. With all of these things, and there is no way I can dive into all of the study, and perhaps we will dive into this more at another time. But to sum all of this up, God did rest on the seventh day. God did give his people, the Israelites, a command to rest. But we cannot negate the fact that Jesus Christ has come. And Jesus Christ has come and he has fulfilled the law. And I will read this passage in Colossians, make a few comments, and I will be done. In Colossians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul is writing. And interestingly enough, the Apostle Paul says very little about the Sabbath, about the day of rest. We have no idea what he thought of these things, except for the fact that he would go to synagogues and speak to the Jews on the day, on the Sabbath. But that was because they were gathered together on that day. But I want you to take note here to Colossians chapter 2. And again, Paul is speaking, he's confronting the Judaizers. He is confronting people that are seeking to take the Jewish law and make Gentile Christians obey the Jewish law in order to be good, God-fearing people. And the Apostle Paul speaks out against that, and he says in verse 16, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ." And so, dear ones, in conclusion, Jesus Christ is our Lord. He has come and He has fulfilled the law. The Lord Jesus, when He was on the earth, He honored the Sabbath because He wanted to be an example to all of His Jewish people. But if you remember, He had very different ideas about it. And the Lord Jesus, He is the one to whom we live. We live for Him, for His honor, and for His glory. The Apostle Paul tells us we are not to judge one another about these things, what we eat, what we drink, when we celebrate a holy day, when we take a day of rest. Those commands were given specifically to the Jewish people. Principally, was it a good idea? Absolutely. Is it a good idea? Sure. It is a good idea to take a rest. But may we not judge one another concerning this matter, for today we live for Jesus Christ, and we seek to live for Him in spirit and in truth. We are no longer living according to the law. We are living according to the fulfiller of the law, and that is Jesus Christ. And in that we find true freedom. This is not a license to do whatever we want, but it is we live by the Spirit who indwells us. And that is a higher calling than the law itself. You live to please God in spirit and in truth. And you will obey Him. And you will please Him.